This was put out by, and I only wrote one copy of this, but I'll scan it to you and email it to you if you'd like. That's only on the youth restored justice. Have you seen that one yet?
Yeah, okay.
It's basically a survey of what different counties have done, but one of the things what they recommended one of the things they went through was to pick two counties, Ogle County, which is always in the forefront of these issues. And they have a state attorney who is incredibly progressive, it's always, especially with youth offenders. And then Champaign County. And they picked Champaign County because we have, they said, 5 to 11 different programs, but mostly run through thank you, RPC. And so one of their programs, they talked about the mentoring court and the mentoring programs, and they talked about parent and love and limits, and they've gone, this is actually a preliminary. Yeah, and so it's really, I think, very interesting. But
I got a PDF of it.
Do you? Okay. I said, I'll be glad to send it. I just I got it too late in the day to make the copy.
I've got copies of those. Do you?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just thought it was really interesting, and of course, it's only talking about youth programs and not adult, which I know you're interested in, but I thought it was a neat place to start.
I'm planning to speak to that, to say that this is building on that. We already have this practice here, so let's do more of
it. I just thought it was really interesting that the two counties they picked were those two, so kind of an interesting survey of what the other counties are doing.
I'd like to have both of those. I haven't seen them.
Hey, Scott, I just want to know what box did you get at the center?
Wayward numbers.
That came, and my wife goes, well, this can go in the trash. So I'm like, no, let's hear them out. But no.
That's what Julia and Reitz referred to, right?
That's just the beginning.
No.
It could be.
Yeah, that was a pen. New World. I forwarded it to
people. Is that this one? Okay.
Right.
I think that's...
Okay.
I mean, I thought everybody should have it in their, as an attachment to...
I didn't make it on the list then, because I didn't get it.
You got it.
Well, it wasn't sent to this group.
Oh, okay.
No, so I sent it to this group.
That's what
it is. Well, it was. Isn't that what Julia Reitz referred to in a memo?
It would have just been
saying, "Look, we got page, whatever 20."
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that. That wasn't what I got it. And then I forwarded it to this task force.
Okay.
That note, because I thought people might want to see that. Restorative justice is favorably viewed by our local folks.
Yeah, and, you know, that can be a prelude to our recommendation because, you know, how we're trying to highlight good things. We can highlight that and then the recommendation extended to
that's
it.
That's just what I thought that, you know, I mean, in some ways, we're not in our meeting yet. But so I'll just say that, finish the thought, that it seems to me that goes some distance toward saying, well, the philosophy is not something that you're just pulling out of left field.
Well, in particular, I mean, just for this one program, you're able to see the recidivism rates of those who've gone in the program and those who haven't. So any kind of empirical data like that, I think is very helpful to get to accept those.
So are you involved in security for our marathon?
Yes. Do not wear a backpack.
Really? I mean,
we will search you if you have a backpack.
Yeah, that was pretty
terrible.
I think we can get started.
I have somebody I know out there, so
we're gonna
check right away. I think they're all fine.
Call the meeting to order at 6:03. Look forward to the approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda that we need to make?
So moved.
Thank you.
It's been moved in the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? And public participation? We have no public participation, so I'll close public participation at this time. Approval of the minutes of March 28, 2013.
Do we have to make a motion before an amendment?
Make a motion.
Do you have to take the roll? Is that important? No.
No.
Okay.
Are there any changes to the minutes before we approve it?
Yes. On page one, last partial paragraph, it says Brandon suggested finding the appendix a full report. That's correct. And then limiting it to 6 to 10 pages. It was limiting 6 to 10 pages per recommendation, not the full report. So the overview is 2 pages per recommendation. Full report is 6 to 10 per recommendation.
So the change there is?
To add per recommendation after 6 to 10 pages.
Okay. Any other changes to the minutes before we approve it? Seeing no changes, I entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Support. Second.
Moved by Astrid and seconded by whom?
James.
James seconded. All in
favor? That's the arm wrestle for
you. Any opposition? Seeing none, minutes approved. We'll go right to our committee report. 5A, presentation of draft of mental health programming. Mr. Rappaport, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, I was hoping Diane would want to comment on this because I do have a question about cost, and I thought she might have some information. At any rate, so I assume you've read it, or
yes.
You want me to go through it in detail?
Why don't you highlight the most important parts of the proposal? I think everybody's read his recommendation so far.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so here's so the current problem. What I'm saying here is that the sheriff thinks this is a problem. The police think this is a problem. The data, even just the little bit of data that I'm citing, shows that it's a problem. If you just look at the simple statistics on how many people are in custody, I think that number, 250, might be a little high for the current, but it was a particular day not that long ago that when we were visited. And in 2012, the sheriff reported 53 people who he listed as serious mental health problems, and from the descriptions, even the brief descriptions, I would say he's absolutely right. Those are serious. Unless he's making up those descriptors, these are serious problems. So let's guess that, you know, plus or minus, on a given day, you've got 50-some people in the jail who are in serious mental health difficulties. Now, the reports that we're getting from the police, the Urbana police are the ones who have kept the best statistics on this. And I went to a meeting again, and the Champaign police are now promising to at least start to collect such statistics. The university police will have them. But just taking this 325 such cases that are reported in Urbana, remember that Urbana is about one-third the size of Champaign in terms of police officers. So what we know is that both within the jail and out in the community, law enforcement is dealing with this problem every day. And so it's not insignificant. The biggest problem, there's two ways, and this probably is something that has to be carried forth in an understanding. It actually took me a while to figure this out. Some of it's obvious, but some of it's a little more less obvious than I at first thought. So that the police officers get these people who are clearly emotionally disturbed, and, you know, they're not mental health experts, so they're not going to give them a diagnosis. They call for help, and help's not there. It's there sometimes, and sometimes it's late because there are not enough crisis intervention workers available in the community, is the short version of this. People who can be sent out to deal with the problem with the police officer or even to meet them at the emergency room. Now, sometimes they can and sometimes they can't and sometimes. But what a typical example would be then, the police officer now decides to take the people to the only place that's available, which is the emergency room. And here's another source of a problem, which is a lack of resources. So they get to the emergency room with or without a crisis worker. The advantage of having a crisis worker there is they can often, if they're good, be able to talk people into getting some available service that does exist in the community, but that's different than getting somebody involuntarily sent to some place. Like you have to, in order to be involuntary, if a person doesn't want to go and the police aren't going to arrest them, well, then they just go. So they come back and they revolve. So okay, now what happens is...
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure. Please do.
And can we do just a little bit of a dialogue just so that people can...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought you just wanted me to run through it quickly.
Well, I was just wondering, when you spoke to Urbana, so Urbana has stats on the number of mentally...
What those are is the number of times that the crisis... They have police. Some police are trained in this crisis intervention themselves.
So is this an annual number?
That's an annual. That's the last year.
And is this 325 individuals or 325 incidents, right?
Yes, I believe it's incidents.
What was reported in a meeting today? There were 17,000 bookings in 2012, of which they have a capacity of 280. And of that 280, they had 130 that were marked mental health, at least 10 times repeaters in the jail.
This is Urbana or just the jail?
The sheriff. Yeah.
The sheriff. Okay.
There are going to be a large number, a significant number of people who are repeaters.
17,000.
But I didn't get they didn't have those statistics available at that point. At the level of the street, the officer didn't have them.
Okay.
Okay, so.
So it's not necessarily 325 individuals. It may be
offenses. It could be.
Yeah, it's unknown as to how many different individuals that would be.
Okay, I think.
But we do know that. I mean, so you have to think about these things together, right? You have to think of, well, how many people are in the jail at any given time who are individuals?
Sure. Right. That are having some. Symptoms.
And what the police are reporting, all of them. All the police forces are saying this is a significant problem for them in that, A, it ties them up frequently.
Yes, I understand.
And they don't want to put them in jail. A lot of times...
I mean, if they haven't actually committed a crime that...
Well,
could.
There are...
We've had some incidents downtown Urbana, for instance,
sure. Yeah, sure.
Where they don't want to arrest the people who we know are mentally ill, who are just kind of...
And sometimes it'll be more ambiguous, you know, as to whether they should or shouldn't. But the problem is, if when someone is, unless they meet the criteria, maybe you guys will know this better than I do in practice, but the laws about commitment are pretty stringent. So you have to go in order to be involuntarily committed. We do not have a place for someone who's not going to be involuntarily committed. The hospitals are quite reluctant to keep them. And there I have heard the people in the emergency rooms talk about, basically, they don't want to do it.
Sure.
And there's lots of reasons why they don't want to do it. So what you begin to realize is that we have no place. What I've read about other places and is often recommended when you're talking about getting the mentally ill out of the jail situation, is that it is possible to set up, and you'll tell me whether or not this is in fact legal, but I think it is, you could have a crisis center in which you could arrest people and place them there prior to their being booked. So basically you could arrest them and take them to what would amount to a secure legal confinement while they're waiting. It would be the same strategy that they use now when they take them to jail, right? There has to be a way. They take them to jail. They don't have to be in the jail. What they need is a secure, locked facility. And it would make a lot more sense. Basically, what I'm wanting to argue in the end here is this community needs such a facility. They need more than that, but that's at least what they need.
You're talking another jail. A low-security jail.
Well, I'm not talking about low security, actually. I'm talking about a place, though, that would be separated
from
the other jail.
But it's still a jail. It's still a place where people are put.
Can I ask, would it be possible? I mean, once someone's arrested, they pretty much, differentiating between what kind of jail. I mean, they either have to post bond or go in jail and have the judge then within a certain amount of time set bond. But my question is, I mean, you're exactly right. You do see, and it seems like more and more, people getting arrested on trespass at hospitals. People who go into CVS. We had one last week who said, I'm going to steal the sandwich now. Steals the sandwich. They let him. They said, just get out of here. He came back a little bit later. I'm going to steal it. I mean, he clearly they have nowhere to go. And there's a question of there's obviously some issues there. But perhaps if the officers had a choice between taking him to jail and this other place you're talking about. So rather than, and that's what I'm asking, I guess it's a question of if it does have to be after the arrest, could it be rather than take him to jail for that, they can take him to the center, which would be then responsible for getting them the services.
Well, I think it could serve both purposes, and you can tell me what's legal better than I can tell you that. But what I'm hearing from is, and all the mental health people are totally aware of this, that, look, unless they're going to be involuntarily committed, we cannot force a person to go to anything that's available here.
Right.
So could this place serve as a place where, for some people, you might want to actually arrest them, but instead of taking them to the jail, take them to this crisis center, if there were a secure place there for them to be held, I believe you could. Could you also bring people who, instead of taking them to the emergency room now, you take them here where there are people who can, and this is what you need, is people who can now, A, talk to them, calm them down, help them think about their options, maybe spend a lot of time with them, but you can create a trust and an environment. Some people become quite skilled at dealing with people in these crisis situations, and typically it's very common that when someone is in an acute mental illness episode, they will calm down within, you know, a day, and they'll look completely different the next day. And
well, one of the things that, and this could lead into what you're doing, you know, two things. One, pretrial, I think, is that's why we need pretrial. Mm-hmm. It would take care of that if they got to jail. The other is the Presence Hospital with the CRC movement, with the community resource.
What's in the back of my mind, which I haven't said because I don't think I can say it here, and it's not ready to do that.
Well, they said it opened today.
Well, yeah, but here's the story. I learned this from being with the police last week, who are very, everybody's sort of slightly rolling their eyes about whether or not that's going to be capable right now of doing it, so that what they're doing at Presence is they want to set up a place where you can bring all kinds of people in. They're not necessarily talking about people who are violating the law, but various issues that medical and mental health, and they have a space there. And from what I gather, that space is much larger than they're actually going to use, and that may be the first step towards some community collaboration. But what they'd have to do is be willing to, and I think it would require more help and more dollars than they will put into it alone, but I believe there's a possibility that that could be a facility where you could make a part of it secure.
Well, Presence is putting no money in it. Presence is providing a space.
People, though.
And the providers are invited to come to and make up the resource center. And so that resource center will be made up of a lot of providers. And so the concept there, the vision, is one-stop shopping where the police could drop them off. They could go into ER. ER could refer them there for an assessment or a screen and then link them to community providers so that they would, one, keep them on the hospital, and two, could prevent people from going to jail if they were hooked up with the proper community resource at the time.
Well, there's two issues that have to be dealt with.
Let me ask a question right quick. Are there other comments, questions that you want to give to Julian about the report? Let's do that so that we'll have enough time to at least get those in. And then you can respond, Julian, to...
Can I just say one thing before you do that?
Just a process point? Can I? Yeah. I mean, I think it would be really helpful if you took us through the recommendations part. Because, I mean, I think a lot of the background is... You know, it's kind of known, but if you could just go 1, 2, 3, 4,
well,
so we know what you're putting on the table, because that's what's new.
The background isn't that obvious to me. having done it. It takes a long time to grasp what the nature of this problem is. It's not something that you can solve by saying, oh, just send them, get a mental health person there.
That will not solve
the problem. That's what I'm saying.
I know it's a bigger issue, but I want to give the committee enough time to address you in particular on your recommendations as they stand.
So one of the reasons for this recommendation is, or one of the rationales for the recommendation that I do think dawned on me finally when I read again your proposal for pretrial issues. There's an assumption that people, that among those pretrial screenings and considerations will be questions about people with mental illness. The only way that that will have any, will be sensible or could be honestly said to occur would be if there's actually a resource for them. Under the current community capacity, that will not be possible. It is literally just physically impossible because, and there's these are the two reasons, which is why I think you've got to grasp this part. It's not like there exists some mental health system here that's just not willing to deal with these people. It's that they don't have the capacity to do it. There are not enough crisis workers, people that do crisis intervention and case management, so that if you were honestly going to try to do a pretrial screening, you wouldn't have anything. You could say you're referring to something, but it would be pointless. The second thing is that some number of people will actually have to be locked up. I don't think that doesn't mean they should be locked up under the normal conditions of a jail. But it might be a jail, but it's a different kind of jail. What they need is a secure environment. Some of them will not want to go to a mental health facility. They might decide to go to one after they were locked up there for a couple of days, and maybe that would then happen. But it would be a qualitative, what they need is something that's qualitatively different than the current conditions that force them to be locked up, in which you saw what the jail is like. And it's, you know, it's not going to help anybody's mental health to be in that jail. So what I'm saying is there's these two things that are necessary. The recommendation is that we need a couple of things. Okay, so I'm recommending that the jail provide a couple of social workers whose job it is, and just by the way, you say that the Jones, who's the administrator, would like to have a social worker, he told me the other day. Who's paying for it? I'm suggesting the jail could pay for two social workers who would be processing, looking at the people, working in conjunction with the screening and so on, but whose job would also be to locate services for people in the community whenever they leave the jail, whether it's after a day or after, you know, a month or a week, or so that whole process would be, those social workers would need to be people who are familiar and involved with and have working relationships with the community resources. And I'm suggesting that that two other such people be provided, and two is a minimum, that I'm suggesting the county should pay for. Not the jail, but the county should find the funding to pay for crisis intervention workers who can go out and be with the police in the street, maybe even to prevent getting to that jail context. Because right now, there aren't enough community elements of the people who do it. So I know they would be the ones to put in a proposal, but I don't think the county should run that program. I think what the county should do is contribute to some sort of fund that would enable the community to have such workers available to assist the police. And my proposal is that the county seek out assistance on this and collaboration from the cities and either directly from the police departments or from the city governments, that the cities and the police departments in this community have a responsibility to do this too. It shouldn't just be viewed as, well, we don't care about them as long as they end up in the jail, and then the jail takes care of them. And somehow people have to grasp that as a working relationship that's necessary. So the second...
Let me just bring this back in, because it's 6:23. Uh-huh. And I know we have two other reports to do, and all of this has to be done at least by 7:30.
Why is that?
Because I only have a limited amount of time every Monday when I come here. I'm also on the city council now in Urbana, which I'm supposed to be at 7. I'll be late. So what I'm asking for right now is questions of the committee who have read your report and recommendations that they'd like to give toward what you've submitted thus far, so that we could get at least a 10-minute round of those done at this point. And I'll start with, you want to start now?
Okay, that's fine. Well, first of all, I'm just so excited about this part of the report, because this is such a key part of alleviating the size of the jail population and addressing, you know, the whole problem. So I'm going to just point out, I didn't have the time I needed to devote to this, quite frankly, but I'll mention the questions or observations, and then if we have time, because other people may have some. So let me, I picked out what I think are, and I'm not going to take them in sequence. I want to kind of leap ahead towards, when we get to recommendations, I feel obviously the most important step is that we get a behavioral health system. So I think that should be the key step. There are probably, to have a behavioral health system, there's probably 30 steps that need to be taken. I think it's important to pick out no more than 5 implementation priorities. 5, and they need to be discreetly set out. There might just be 3 right now, and then others mentioned typically in bullets. So people get a sense that to have a system, there's going to be a lot of steps. But these are the most important ones, because if we say too much, it's going to get lost in the details. So just that would be so when we get to the recommendations right now, it says something like one step is that we need to understand the county jail is an important part of the community. I wouldn't put that. Leadership obviously is important, but I would say the step is behavioral health system, and then pick out of all the good recommendations we've got here, what are the 3 to 5 most important implementation priorities.
And I picked out 2. Maybe it's not obvious when you read it, but I only picked out 2. I listed those under number 3, as these are the recommendations to make a system that the earlier task force in its appendix did, and I listed a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and then
actually,
if you carry on further, when you just look at the cost part, and you'll see that what the recommendations are.
So I wasn't sure, because I actually saw probably about 8. But in any event, that's the one. They didn't leap out to me, but again, it's a quick read. So next, when this relates, because we decided to break up the recommendations, so there's 1 recommendation focusing on mental health, 1 substance abuse. But obviously, behavioral system of care relates to both. So I'd say, looking ahead towards your recommendation, it'd say behavioral health system, but then what are the 3 to 5 implementation priorities to address the people in the jail and the system with substance abuse.
Well, I was going to leave Diane to do the editing of that, which I thought was the plan.
You mean Darlene?
Darlene.
Well, I think we would probably, as a task force, need to know, make sure we know what the priorities are, so that we might say, well, actually, I think the priority is X. So that's kind of saying structurally. It was still hard for me, because I said, well, that's a good idea, that's a good idea. I saw a lot of different things, and it wasn't clear to me. Let's see. I did have a question. I think a question will come up. What about rural areas? So we need to be sensitive to that. It wasn't clear where the numbers come from. For example, we say 2 of this or 2 to 8 of this. Like for pretrial services, we did some digging around to come up and show that there was a basis for the number we've come up with. So I do think we want to show that there's some factual basis for the numbers. So I'd recommend that there be some, you know, inquiry into that question. I do think that there is an issue that I don't see really mentioned here that at some point we'll want to figure out if this is part of the problem, and that is I did not realize that the provider in the jail is from out of the community. And I think that is part of the problem of having an integrated system of care if we have the provider is contracted out. Now, maybe it's not part of the problem, but
I did say that, right? I said it pretty clearly,
well,
I think.
That might then be put separately if we say these three implementation priorities and then examples of other steps to be taken to be addressed by whatever that structure is that's going to be implementing behavioral system of care. That would be one. Should that group address whether one reason we don't have an integrated system of care is because we've got people? It's not leaping out of here that could be part of the problem.
That is part of the problem.
Yeah, and so if it is, we need to bring that out. And I would guess that it is.
Now, but it's not a problem for the sheriff.
Well, yeah. Is it a problem for the community and for addressing the issues we're responsible for addressing?
The problem is getting the contractor in the jail to integrate the linkages to the community. And that is starting now. As far as what the sheriff is concerned, he gets the medical and the mental health in the jail appropriately.
But we're trying to bust that system of fiefdoms and get the integration. So is that going to be possibly, and we don't have to say it has to happen, we need a new provider, but just one of the bulleted. It's not to, a very important question is to get this behavioral system of care. What group is going to do
could
that?
Could I just direct your attention to the last paragraph on the first page?
Can she just finish her? We
gotta hurry down.
I just want to get them out, but I know there are a lot, but these are just kind of, rather than give you a few, next one. Another main one is, it's so important to get this behavioral system of care that you're recommending. But the question is, who's going to do that? Is that going to be a subcommittee of this coordinating council? Is it going to be a special subcommittee on substance abuse and mental health issues, on behavioral health issues? Or is it going to be the mental health board, or is it something else? That is an I think that needs to be answered in this report. Otherwise, we'll say you need a behavioral health system of care, and everybody will say, well, he's responsible for doing that, and they. Mm-hmm. So, and then I have some smaller points. I think those are the main ones.
James, you had a few that you wanted to.
No, I'm all right. I think maybe Julian could respond
to
that
now.
Okay,
you're fine. Okay. Julie, you want
to I must say I'm mystified, but it's okay with me if someone wants to, which I thought was going to happen anyway, take this as a draft and use the information and rewrite it in some other form, because I believe this currently addresses every single thing you said. If you look at the first page, the bottom paragraph, where it talks about how much money the county jail spends, how much the mental health board spends, and the fact that these are not presently well coordinated once a person is released to the community. So I don't know what else to say about that. I believe that you're quite right that the sheriff doesn't necessarily think that's a problem, although he might think it's a problem in the abstract. He's quite happy with the services that he's getting, as far as I can tell, while he's in the jail. So
I think there is a difference providing mental health services to people in jail and people on the outside. They have very different, the patients have very different purposes. Also think that probably the providers that he uses work for a lot less than the local community.
Well, I don't know that, and that was part of my question. That's why I didn't actually put dollars at the end of it. I don't know what else to say. The second part of it, which lists the steps, and the third part, which talks about establishing a behavioral health system, all I did there was to say, these are the kinds of things that you would need if you're going to have a system. I then said, you can't accomplish anything like that overnight, but we could make the beginning steps toward it. Here are the beginning steps that I'm recommending. Which then, in its most concrete form, comes down to number 4, which is the cost, which just says it in a couple of sentences. And if you want to make it more clear, what I'm saying is the initial, it says initial, the initial cost to the county, there's no, any way you cut this, there's no way that you can, you're going to be able to deal with the problem of keeping the mentally ill out of jail here within reason. You'll never get them all out. It is to have more crisis intervention case managers located both at the jail and in the community. I'm saying that's a combined problem for the, so that we need to have some way to increase the strength of the numbers of community workers and the numbers of people who are directly at the jail who know the community. The third thing on that list for cost is that, and that paragraph is short, but it's the biggest one. And that's the whole that's a major part of the problem, that somehow the county needs to be dedicated to program development activities, to get involved with other units of government, to make plans for the development of a safe and secure setting in lieu of remodeling the jail. The jail is an inappropriate place for these people. That doesn't mean they don't need a secure environment, because many of them will not respond unless they're required to. So what I'm saying is that's going to take community financing, and I think the county can put money into it. I think the cities can put money into it, but it's going to take leadership. So I'm suggesting that the county consider either assigning existing staff or hiring a new person to be responsible for organizing and planning, as well as grant writing, to help finance such a setting. And all this is just viewed as a first step. So again, I mean, I don't, it's possible that when you read it, it doesn't say what I think it says, which I'm quite happy if somebody wants to rewrite it and make it say it more clearly. But it says everything that you're asking for.
Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, I've got a couple questions/comments. I think I can bring everything into two things. First is, we've got a lot about collaboration in here, establishing a behavioral health system, a lot of stuff on the outside. Who are you envisioning? What system are you envisioning building for that, and who are you envisioning housing this under? Obviously, it's pretty easy with mental health in the jail, and your costs and recommendations are very focused, and I think very good. But on the outside, we're going to have to create a new governance structure. We can't just have intergovernmental relations. Someone's going to have to run the thing, presumably under the county umbrella.
That's what I think.
And my other question, I'll give you a chance to answer that, is you mentioned public health, diverting people through the public health system. Have you talked with the public health agencies, or how would you envision using public health? Which makes
sense,
number one.
I purposely put public health in because I have some experience with the local public health department. And I think this is so far off their radar that it doesn't even exist at all. However, here's what I think. I mean, I don't know what to put in a report. What I think is, well, we have a new county board chair. We have a two other members of the local, of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District are not the county's public health district, but the one they contract with, are new. They're the two township supervisors. So these three people make up the board for the Champaign-Urbana Board of Health. Mm-hmm. I think they should be presented. Now, who's going to do this? Well, I think, and again, I don't know who exactly it should be, but someone representing the county needs to be in negotiation with the public health districts. One of them is a county public health district. And the bigger one that they mostly contract their services for is the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. They are they're separate and independent, but their board is made up of, well, one member is the chair of the county board, and the other two are the newly elected township supervisors. That county board, the two county boards together are not poor. They need to consider that this is a community problem that most professionals believe is a part of the responsibilities of a public health system. So what I'm suggesting is, and I don't say all that here because I really shouldn't, can't say all that in a written I don't think I can. But, I mean, it needs to be understood that these relationships are not impossible, but they have to be pursued, and that the county is definitely not powerless with respect to its ability to pursue those kinds of relationships.
That's intriguing, because there is an umbrella organization for things in this county. It is public health. You would want to say the mental health board, but they really...
should be a part of it.
Well, they don't really administer these kind of things, though.
That's right.
They got, possibly, we could increase their authority, but...
No, I don't
think... Public health does public health things, but they're much more of an umbrella administration organization. So I think that's intriguing.
James had a...
I think this is a huge advance, and he is really moving in the right direction and targeting, you know, the criminal justice and mental health linkage. A couple of things. I mean, maybe to follow up on what Mike was saying. I mean, it seems it might make some sense to have a little bit of time frames on this. And if you're talking about a facility, and it seems to me that if you're going to try to set this up, that what you actually need is you need somebody who's going to be a director of this system. And that the funding from the county should go for somebody who's actually going to make this thing happen, rather than for somebody who's going to try to raise money for it. Because whoever's in charge of it can work on negotiating the money and maybe outsource some grant writing and so forth. But it needs somebody who's going to drive this. Because when we say the county.
No,
here's the county.
Just to clarify what I'm suggesting here. What I'm saying to assign existing staff or a new person, I'm talking about a full-time person. And what I'm saying is grant writing might be one of the things they do. A lot of what they're going to have to do, they're not going to have anything to administer unless the person's first job would have to be to pursue the kind of things that Michael was causing me to reflect on. You're right. It has to be a person doing it. But the first steps would be to create the organization. I don't believe it would be a good idea to expect the county to itself provide this service. I think the county could be the stimulus for... So what I'm thinking is that what they need to do is create some sort of funding mechanism. You're going to be stuck with using... In this community, you're going to have to use, unless the county's going to go into the business of hiring its own creating its own mental hospital, which I don't think it's going to want to do, you're going to have to use the existing professional network of mostly nonprofits here, and someone's going to have to coordinate them.
Okay, but what I'm saying is we need somebody who's going to, and I think you need to locate where that person is going to be in the system. I mean, I don't think you can say it's going to be some unspecified county employee is going to do this. You have to. I mean, I think this needs to be located somewhere in the county where, you know, so we can see where that's going to fit.
Maybe, but I have no idea where, other than this thing itself.
Okay. Well, I think maybe we should. You know, you should talk to some people, or we should think about where that might be housed. Because otherwise, there's a chance that some person who's not very productive in the department that they're in is going to end up. Oh well, we need somebody in this job. I mean, this is a big position here. So I mean, I would argue that you should try to incorporate some funding for that person into the proposal for like 2 years or something to actually get the thing.
Well, I agree with that. What I was trying to say is the reason I didn't put dollars here.
Could I just finish? Okay. So I just think you should put some funding for that in your budget and have some time frames for when you put the two social workers in, when you do this, when you do that, that you're kind of building up into a system as a whole.
Pastor,
do
you want to?
What I keep hearing is, you know, we. Trying to say we don't need a jail, and you're saying we need a place to put them that will function the same as a jail, be secure, but a nicer place, and have them involuntarily committed there.
Not involuntarily committed.
No, that would only work if they actually committed a crime that the state decided to prosecute them for. Sometimes that is not the case. So let me just, for process time frame, people's comments as you, I mean, this is a big piece, Julian, so you've kind of laid the foundation for this to go forward, but obviously we're not going to finish this today because there's some bigger pieces that need to be recommended from the board members here to you. At this point, I will ask that members kind of reread the draft, and if you have other recommendations and resources, to send them to Julian to consider in the second part of this. And if that's okay with you, we do need to move to at least getting a peek in discussion around the substance abuse portion of this.
One suggestion that I'd like to make, and then I will shut up. I think it would be great if people would go back over and suggest things that should make it clearer or change or whatever. I would like someone else to then put it together. I was hoping that's what Darlene would do. I don't feel like I can do it now. Actually, I don't want to. I want someone else with a fresh look to take a look at this and the suggestions that come in and to do the next draft, which is what I thought was what we had kind of agreed to do. So
I can't kind of volunteer Darlene at this point to do.
Well, I thought she'd already volunteered for
that. Well, she was going to put the whole thing together, meaning all the pieces
in the format.
That's what she's. That's the only thing she volunteered to do, not rewriting individual pieces. But it's out on the table for consideration if we can think about that.
Again, I can't make a commitment because first we got to get our section done, our next ones, and then the ones I told you I do some of the structural ones. Mm-hmm. But I may or may not, I just don't know yet. But regardless, there'd be questions. Like, I got a lot of questions, and one, can I just flag two questions? Will we continue to dialogue? I'd really like to hear your input, having been inside the system, of who, what structure you think could get the behavioral system of care in place, whether it's public health. I like getting it away from the criminal justice system, but regardless. And the mental health courts, I think we'll need to mention in here just as kind of a plus of something we're at least doing, even though it's kind of fledgling at this point.
Okay.
So I'm going to move to Mrs. Sardini so we can at least get some of that conversation going. And I'm going to just flag us right here, Mrs. Sardini, at about 15 minutes.
Really?
If
Have we got a report from him? I didn't give one.
No.
I don't.
I had sent you a report, and then we were at the last meeting. We were requested to put it in the draft form that Lynn had, and then submit it to Darlene, which I did.
Oh, you sent it to Darlene.
Yes.
Okay.
And she was going to. I thought she was going to put it in, rewrite it in that draft form.
See, I think she was. Okay, I don't think that's what she was doing. I think she was going to hold on to it, but we didn't get a chance to see it.
So
none of us saw it.
I have copies.
Oh, okay. Do you have enough for us to share? Oh, you only have one.
One, yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you want me to do mine while you were waiting?
Yes. Okay, yes, please.
I mean, is that okay?
10 minutes.
Take my 15
minutes.
Turn on 14 of your 15.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go.
Okay. Quick. I mean, this has been here before. Since we had this last time, we've had quite a few meetings. We've met with the Illinois Department of Corrections, and we've kind of sort of. But I mean, it's the proposal is still evolving. But I mean, basically, we've kind of met with the Illinois Department of Corrections. We've kind of got a green light to go ahead and have developed some kind of relationship with institutions and try to find ways to be able to make contact with institutions who are releasing people to Champaign County and find and have them come into the kinds of services that we're trying to put together. So the idea here really is to phase this in over kind of 3 years, first year to kind of lay a foundation, a second year to kind of expand a program of support. I mean, we've scaled it down. We obviously know from looking at other proposals and from a previous proposal that was done for Champaign County that, you know, we can't handle 442 people. So we're scaling that down considerably and trying to connect to a smaller number of people, sticking with the peer mentoring system as a core
sort of philosophical basis for the way we're operating, and also, you know, building on the success of that in some other places, and also in the peer mentoring system in the county for juveniles, and we are supposed to have a couple of other meetings with service providers to try to have some kind of develop some relationship with service providers who are servicing people who have been paroled directly to their facilities, so that we would be providing additional services that they're not able to do, so to offer. So that would be like an interim kind of step until we have kind of an office and a base from which we would be able to do these things ourselves. So the first year, we're trying to look at servicing a group that's kind of already here, that's being housed but not being provided any kind of support services. Use that as a way to develop those support services for the first year. Then the second year, we would have our own kind of facilities to be able to house an office and be able to serve people. But we're not going to be providing all these services. We're mainly going to be connecting people to existing service providers, prioritizing connection to employment, connection to housing. And then in the third year, we're looking at trying to connect up with some kind of housing vouchers. So that's just a very brief thing. I mean, we've gotten a lot of support from the people that we've talked to. There's a long list of people, including the state's attorney and other people that have been talked to by either Marlon or myself in terms of trying to get some support for this and get people to buy into making it happen.
Are there specific questions or recommendations of changes to this report? Anybody before Lynn? No, Lynn.
Okay. Well, I think I'll try to focus on the macro point first. And once again, reentry, probably in terms of the group that poses the highest risk to public safety, this is a population we really need to target. Of course, since the impetus for this project was the jail population, you mentioned that they'll go to jail. One question is, how long are they there? But in the long run, this is such a huge piece of this. Now, I feel that it would be a stronger recommendation if we were to ask for an IFP and then include certain ingredients, one of which is the peer mentoring, show by data that the efficacy of that. It may be that there is only one group that applies for that IFP, but I think it's would be much stronger, more neutral, and that is probably my most important recommendation, I think. I think references to funding, where the money's going to come, public tax, grants, those things should be in the funding section. Mm-hmm. I think we may, and I think all of us are on the same page. The lands recognize we need to be going after grants more aggressively, and I feel anything about funding should go elsewhere. And I think any other comments I can... Oh, I know. I still feel that if I was on the county board, I'd say, what about the state, though? And I still think we should be aggressively pursuing possibilities of having this be a pilot project with the state, looking at connections, et cetera, where we get some state funding for this. And Michael will probably be testing into your context. But that we don't want the county to say, well, we aren't going to go that way because of it. But I think we have a greater chance of getting this if we can explore that partnership.
I had an issue to raise, but I'll raise it in another section, not just in relationship to yours, but in the recommendations.
Could I just respond to it? I mean, I'm totally on board with everything you say. I didn't want we are sort of going up the ladder in the IDOC, so we're trying to get a meeting with someone who's in charge of programs, and when we do that, then we will. We're definitely going to look for support from IDOC and also from City of Champaign, City of Urbana. I mean, we're having meetings with people. We're going to meet with someone from the Urbana City Council maybe about this. And and we've also have made some contacts with people in Champaign. So we want to get a bigger buy-in. Marlon Mitchell, who's been working with me on this, has been meeting with a lot of people in Champaign, including city council members. So definitely there's a desire to broaden that, you know, that source of funding. But we just want to talk to these people a little bit more before I start putting something in writing on that, about those names. Yeah. And the IFP thing, totally, I'll add that for sure.
Yes.
I agree. It would be ideal if DOC or a Department of Human Services would do this. But if this is, say we're talking about doing something at the county, say we found somebody for it somewhere, state or federal grant, are you assuming this is going to be housed under probation with court services?
No. No, this is not, because this is dealing with parole, so it's a totally different, you know, it's a whole other world. I mean, this is dealing with people coming back from IDOC, so parole and probation are like, it's like the feds in the state or something.
Yeah.
It's totally different. It's a different situation. We specifically targeted this for people coming back from prison.
I think that was one of my questions that Mike just raised around
that.
Because the county board doesn't normally employ case managers. The county board is the legislative body, so it doesn't necessarily do that. So it has to have some avenue, which is what was being said about the behavioral system of care. The whole integrated system would include parole because that's the kind of end of the process, right? But it has to have an administrative structure that usually is not the county board, but the county board contracts with mental health board, RPC, somebody to take care of the administrative structure. And I think that that's part of the, as a board member, I would say, the county board doesn't hire anybody like that. So
okay. You're right.
So are you saying
the administrative structure would have to be DOC or possibly?
Well, not necessarily DOC, but could it fall under a program that is an RPC? But one of the things that we talked about earlier is that, and I think Julian brought this issue up, is that you might need to just reprioritize some of the money you're already spending through the mental health board. So it's money of the counties, but it's going through the mental health board. And we might have to reprioritize some of that money because some services might be duplicated services that we're currently doing. So we don't know yet without looking at the whole, right? This is a whole system that we got to look at. And I think it does tie into the recommendation Julian has, yours, and I would imagine it's going to tie into Mrs. Rodini's too.
So all I'd say now is that if the approach becomes, which I actually agree with, more like a request for proposals, and there'll be some group that would come up and do it, I think that we might want to think about, because I'm pretty sure that that's the only way to do the mental health part, and maybe it's the only way to do what you're going to say, I'm not sure, because what you're saying about how it gets managed, that we might want to think about, when we're done talking about all this, putting together a single plan for a way for the county to do requests for proposals in these areas, and that they become a package that you can see. They're all kind of listed together, so you'd have a proposal for the mental health part thing. But, you know, that would be one request, but there'd be a request for this. There might be a request for other things that the county could kind of put out in some sort of organized fashion. That's sort of occurring to me as where we might want to end up.
I would just have one suggestion.
Can we have a copy of your...
Yeah, we've got it. Is that DOC let out a bid last week about the reentry for the state, and they're bid out by a statewide network, or you can go by region. And Darlene was talking about doing it by region, but they're talking about what you're talking about in here about the reentry, the services that peer mentoring, employment. I would really look at TASC.
Yeah,
you mentioned that.
We're going to meet with him.
And I have a contact as a good friend of mine with TASC in Chicago. But that would be something maybe that your group could reach out to and become part of their statewide network plan.
Mm-hmm.
So
who is administratively responsible for New Way of Life in Los Angeles or Safer Foundation Garfield Park or TASC?
Those are all service providers.
So
they're contracting with with a county or with some kind of authority. Yeah. So it probably it may be through some RFP proposal, some RFP process, or I don't know the exact details of how those were set up. So that's
you said task.
Yeah, TASC. It's
treatment alternatives for safer
state?
Communities.
Yeah,
it is. That's state.
But it's national also.
Okay.
So you're suggesting maybe we should find out a little bit more about the details.
Well, I was just wondering because I'm trying to figure out. It sounds like a great program, but it may actually be easier if this is a service outside the county to start it. But I think I'm hearing that this is a outside nonprofit, which is not necessarily set up at the county anyway. Which, if you find grant funding, might be easier, frankly.
Just as you put this all together, just in terms, because again, as a county board member, I would still be looking at more. This is a state's problem, even though we know it's a community problem. But still, we have all the things we have to fund locally. The question that I would be exploring is there a chance of a pilot with a local match? And so we get a little bit of monetary buy-in from the county because we do already see so many other monetary needs. And, it may get bigger, but that's a way to lure. And I think this is huge because, like I said, from a public safety perspective, this is a really important place to put the dollars. And so it's more a question mark.
Mm. Okay. All right, so let's move. We have one other really kind of, well, maybe not that big, but we can just vote on it here in a minute. How about Mr. Swarthini?
Do I have 15 minutes? I can do this quickly. And this, I think, goes along with what you were saying, Lynn. Okay, so in regards to the detox program services, if you look this thing through for the last 3 to 4 years, we've been without a detox center in the center part of the state. And if you look at, the statistics, we're actually, when the jail is talking about 50%, if you look nationally in the statistics, you're really talking 70-80% of arrests are centered around substance abuse issues. Okay, so it's somewhat low that we looked at. And we have some comparative data from SAMHSA, which is the Mental Health Administration. The need here is that people have to drive over 80 miles to get detox. Now, if a police officer picks you up and you're in need of detox right now, one, they won't pick you up. Two, if they do pick you up, they take you to the ER. They take you to ER. Either one of the hospitals are equipped to do detox. They do not do medical detox. What they will do will stabilize and release. So if you are in need of detox, you're going to have to go to Peoria, you're going to have to go to Charleston, or you're going to have to go to Decatur to get detox, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, who's taking? Anyway. So that piece has not been there. Prairie Center has provided detox for over 30 years. And we have put our license to sleep with the state because when the state cut the money, we could no longer afford to keep the program going. So we serve roughly 60 of the 102 counties at about 800 people a year in our detox. We are one of the lowest per day per diems for people going to detox. I can tell you that we get around $230 a day. We just did a state study. I'm on the state detox task force. It's about $900 a day. And they only looked at 10 hospitals in the Chicago area. And for that, we have made a proposal to the state to reopen detox. Our proposal is $1.2 million, of which we're asking the state for $875,000 of that in order to come up with a local match of about $400,000 that would be made up of either the county and or contributions by others, including the hospitals. We have right now a working agreement that we will move our detox, if the license comes up, to Presence Hospital, the whole fourth floor. We'll take over the fourth floor and move detox and our residential treatment to the fourth floor. They're giving us the space for free. So now we've got a detox program in a medical facility for the first time. It's a great advantage.
One of the things that we look at in the incarceration is the fact that people now who go to ER, we will have a licensed clinician in ER that will be able to take people strictly right out of ER and go right into detox, or they could move up to the fifth floor, which would be crisis stabilization. And this would be in what we call continuity of care. So when the officer picks them up, they're engaged, they bring them to ER, they move them into detox. Detox is usually 2 to 3 days. They then put them into residential services for 30 to 60 days, and then we move them into a community-based provider with case management. So we feel that we got the key ingredients and the continuity of care from the point of access for anybody who needs detox care. We have looked at other alternatives, and we feel there isn't any alternative in this area that can fund it, or any other alternative that wants to even do it, including the hospitals, where the ER, if you admit somebody in ER here, according to at least two hospital spokespersons, it's about $1,800 a day to put somebody in the ER room, compared to about $230 to put them in detox. Well, it's quite a savings.
Question.
Yeah.
The recommendation here on three, So what you're doing here is you're recommending one aspect is the detoxification services. The other is the drug court and jail diversion.
Right.
Correct. And in this case, recommendation three, under drug court and jail diversion, you're advocating that the county board maintains the drug court coordinator and the person who works with the deputy sheriff.
Correct.
The team.
Right.
And you're putting this in. I'm trying to understand why you're putting this into your proposal.
We're putting both in there as needs. And what was articulated in the vision is that it was substance abuse and mental health.
Okay.
And the drug court operating, it's now not even referred to as drug court, but I don't know what the real word is today, but it's a combination of both mental health and substance abuse, is that the coordinator's position to find grants, to do the data collecting, to influence getting national contracts or proposals is an integral part, I think, of the mental health operation that we're talking about here, because a lot of these people are going to be diverted through mental health and through the mental health drug courts.
So this is not an expansion of the current drug court system, it's a maintaining of the current.
Maintain,
yes.
Yeah.
And the revenue that doesn't necessarily currently come out of our GenOps, you're asking for that to be allocated from somewhere.
From somewhere, right. So the three proposals that have been funded for National Drug Court here, the last one goes away in October.
Right, I know.
So that coordinator and that sheriff's position go away as of October.
Okay, so there is a sheriff position. Okay. Can I ask the committee for questions in relationship to these recommendations here or any changes to the report?
I actually have a question for Ms. Busey. We don't have anything currently in the budget to pick up the funding on drug court. I don't. What do we have in the budget for that?
The drug court program existed before these positions were added. I mean, this is what, a 2-year grant?
Yeah.
This year.
So, you know, up until this grant, drug court was operating without this funding. And now this funding came in as a grant.
But two years ago, it was very much ramped up because of this, right?
Because of the grant?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, any other questions I want to say that?
Am I correct that the Mental Health Board puts money into the drug court program?
Yes.
So there already is some relationship there.
The therapists are funded by the seminar.
When did the state defund the detox center?
Well, they've done it a couple of times, but the last time 2 years ago.
Okay. So what I'm not clear about, first of all, we need to have a detox available in this community, for sure. But what I'm a little bit unsure about is how this actually would relate to the reduction of people in the jail, which is our task. It's unclear to me. Partly because if it existed before, well, we had the problem with too many people. So, I mean, I'm sort of suspecting that a lot of the people who are in the jail are there. I'm not exactly sure why they're there, but I would bet that it's not that detox isn't the way that they're going to stop being in the jail.
I understand your question.
Do you want? I'm not sure I understand my question. But
a lot of what the police officers were doing was dropping the people off at detox. So they were diverting from jail.
When the center was open.
When the center was open. So at any given time, we were taking, you know, 3 to 4 clients a night that needed detox that would have gone. Now they're either going to ER or they're going to jail.
I mean, the question I have to follow up on that is how, I mean, it seems that, I mean, you have a number of people going into detox, but there's a small percentage of those people who are actually involved in the criminal justice system. So,
right.
And if, how do, I mean, is there a way to target the funding that this particular task force recommends for detox to somehow connect to the criminal justice, to the people that are involved in the criminal justice system, rather than a generic kind of detox? It's the same thing with mental health. We could fund community-based mental health services,
right.
But we're trying to target it to the people who are affected by the criminal justice system. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that works. I mean,
can I take another question before you address any of it?
Well, again, I think I haven't had a chance to read this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main recommendation would be behavioral health system of care.
Right.
And then the question is, of all the things that can be done, what are the priorities? And this is hard for me because I think that a rational approach to substance abuse problems, detox, is the first step. For where we are, when I think of the people who are in the system who do not get drug treatment, who just don't get it, and then they're high risk for recidivating, et cetera. I guess just my exposure to the criminal justice system would be if we wanted to have the biggest impact on the jail, it would not be detox. But again, I haven't studied the numbers here. So I guess I'm not persuaded yet. If somebody came in and said, we have enough residential drug treatment for those in the system, we have enough outpatient, we have enough money for the drug court, et cetera, then I'd be, you know, and then what's happening in the jail in terms of drug treatment? If it's like most jails, they're getting not the kind of treatment they need. So that would be one of my, that's a question that is in my mind. The second point I simply wanted to make is as we look at possible recommendations, one of the questions I have, we devote a lot of resources obviously to apprehending people who are committing drug offenses. And in terms of community priorities and options, are there options, you know, some communities have decided to focus at least for certain drug offenses with civil penalties and use those resources towards the robbers and so on and so forth. Some people would think that's revolutionary. Quite frankly, it's happening, you know, and that's something at least to consider as we realize we have got to save money here to try to. So I'd at least like to put that on the table as something to potentially recommend that there be consideration of. We don't say do it because, again, we'd have to look at, you know, what kind of power we have to do that as a county and so on and so forth. But at least consider what are the priorities in terms of limited police resources, prosecutor resources, and so on and so forth.
I would ask because there may be some, once you read the report, there may be some other recommendations that you can send to Bruce to consider adding. I think making the connection, and that's where I drew the connection from, although I wholly agree that we need the detox center. I wholly agree, and if I was on the board, I'd be advocating that the county certainly do an intergovernmental agreement to support that effort because it's needed regardless of what happens with the jail. But in relationship to the jail, I don't know and I guess only the sheriff would know this in my thoughts, how many of the people arrested are disorderly conduct because they're addicted to alcohol or on drugs of some sort. They not necessarily broken the law in the sense of robbing somebody, but they may be disorderly. We've had a lot of that downtown. They may be resistant arrest, you know, or other minor violations. How many of them, though, are a real issue for the jail in particular? And I don't really know the answer to that. We've looked at charges.
DUI.
Yeah. I mean, we've checked, right, so we need to look at those to get them
most
more specific.
Have substance abuse problems. The question is, do they need detox?
Detox
so
is what
that's
I'm trying
the
to
issue.
Identify.
Yeah. If it's like national statistics, right, most of them
the discount is when you don't know what else to charge them with, so that's that. The trespassing, the resisting, I mean, I think those are the ones to zero in on, yeah.
Yeah. But the question is, how many need detox? Because I would think most of them are drunk or high after they're like most now.
Most of them,
the
right.
National
right.
statistics.
Right. Yeah.
Is how many need detox?
That's an important, that's the, what
I
was answering.
It's a very important distinction. Mm.
So I'm going to draw your attention again to the time because that's what I do. 7:14. And I do want us to talk about this really important issue that Julian brought up. I'm going to ask that you all send your comments to each of the persons who drafted out tonight anyway. you know, although I understand there's some reservation about rewriting. Once you get a chance to really look at it, and there's a couple things I really need to clarify on this, and I'll have to ask the sheriff in particular about it. But I'd like to go to draw your attention only to a part that Darlene and I met about this week, which was trying to do some combination of the vision statement exercise that you guys did along with the recommendations. I would ask at this point that you read it at your leisure and send comments to me and Darlene by email. It's really just so that you would have the notes of what we tried to do with that, not necessarily for us to decide on this issue tonight, but that you would send your comments after you had time to
do
review.
Do we have that?
Sure. It's in a little packet that was done for us by staff.
Oh, is it in here?
Maybe. It's in here,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can look at that at your leisure, because I really want us to use the last 15 minutes to discuss this particular issue, which was really, really important. All the recommendations that we have, we talked about this about a week ago, should those recommendations be general or should they be specific to program recommendations that have come to us at this point, i.e. safe return home and things like that? That's what I like to do.
We don't have to discuss it. I just want to say it just once, a couple sentences about what Astrid pointed out. I wanted to make sure that everybody grasped what she said, because you may all disagree, and that would be an important one thing to talk about the wording of what I had to say. Another is to talk about what the actual recommendation is. And I am recommending that we need a physical place like a jail for some of the people who are going
with
to
mental health issues.
Yeah.
We don't call them jails. We call them community residential.
You can call it a crisis center. But the point
is
it has to be a locked facility.
A community residential treatment center.
And it can be called whatever it is. And I don't think it should exist in the same physical space as the jail. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that.
Actually, a lot of the mentally ill people in the jail do not need a secure facility. They need a crisis facility. But, you know, they're in there for...
We have things
and peeing in the park.
I don't know if all of them are in there for that reason, but I take your point very well.
You have to
and I think
that.
The professional that's been hired by the county also takes that point very well. But let's decide.
Okay,
at this point, whether we will entertain as a task force and put forward to the county board specific recommendations, i.e., the support for the Prairie Centers, or it's not called, well, I guess it would be still Prairie Center, but recommendation or safe returns home, specific recommendation, or should it be general saying the county needs to have A, B, and C RFP process to develop this behavior system of care? Okay, so I'm going to be very, very specific on the time on this, because it should not, we've discussed it, and people need to just say, basically, specific or not.
I think we should do both. I think we should not lose sight of the big picture. But at the same time, if there are specific instances where we have consensus, or maybe do we want to be unanimous on it, that we think that this is something that would work, this is exactly what we're talking about, maybe not in every case, then I think we should list that, because I think that would be very useful for the county board and for county department heads in that case.
I think, you've been there, you know, if somebody comes before the board and says, oh, we need a whole system of care for addicts, for substance abuse, okay? And they're going to say, yeah, we do. But if he brings us a proposal, dollars and cents, and here's how we do it, and this is what works, and this is the history of it, I think the board will say, oh, well, let's look at that. You know, they're not going to look at something general.
I agree with you on that one.
I think that whatever we do, it's got to be in conjunction with the county board, and it has to be in conjunction with other pass-throughs of county money in order to administer the programs that we're trying to get at. The 708 board is just one, and two members on this committee sit on that board, and they're looking at passing a resolution of which both short-term and long-term make a lot of sense, and Julian sent that out. The resolution, I think, has to have some teeth in it from this advisory committee that we support that. You know, I think that our recommendations need to have some sort of teeth to them, and along with that, it has to have some sort of a recommendation of how they're going to accomplish what we recommend. And so what I'm looking at is the resolution that's forthcoming with the 708 board is an example of that tool, that vehicle to get it done. The 708 board is a funnel of the county. The county could say, hey, here's $10. You go and spend it, and here's our priority. And our priority is making sure that we have some sort of mental health, substance abuse intake referral system at the jail. And here, Peter, you can take it and funnel it through the 708 board at the county, making the priority of what needs to be done. So I think that's there. And I think part of what I heard today in the meeting with Peter is that we had a meeting with the sheriff and a bunch of the providers, and what he's looking at is his allocation for next year is still on the table. He could ask your board to pull those requests tomorrow and reallocate it if somebody told him that. But I think he's committed, regardless, he's committed to the process of working something through that we get the diversionary programs that we need from the jail. And that's why I'm saying, and I'm still advocating in the bigger picture of things, we really need to have an overarching body that coordinates this and the money gets funneled through.
Okay, Julian.
So, good. I essentially agree with what you're saying. It's just important to grasp that the mental health board will not, in and of itself, be able to provide enough funds to make that happen. The mental health board is well set up to do exactly what you said, which is to serve as a kind of disperser and a request for proposals and getting and making sure that people are actually doing what they're supposed to. They're sort of monitoring at an administrative level if there's a policy to support those things. The whole idea of putting out requests for proposals suggests that there's a fund. And
sure.
So what we're all after here is create such a fund, which then could be administered by the mental health board. But that money then has to come, there has to be enough money in it. And so we don't want these proposals to be in competition with each other, in my opinion. What we want them to do is to say, given that we need these things, and they can be quite specific, exactly as suggested, this is the amount of money we need in the fund in order to honestly contribute to this solution. So in a sense, it's together as well as independent.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Mike and Astrid have said. Yeah, well, I think we need to be as specific and focused as possible. The more specific things are that go to the board, the more likely they are to take action. The more vague they are, the more likely they are to form a commission, to form a subcommittee, to form a subcommittee, the subcommittee to do a study.
Or a task force.
Or a task force.
I think James summed up my feelings very well. So specific is my recommendation as well.
Okay. Lynn.
Well, again, even if we decide in one area, reentry, to do IFPs, I've got an example of how Milwaukee County issues all kinds of IFPs that are very specific.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Very specific. Mm-hmm. So I don't, what I think the issue is, are we going to endorse a particular organization? And sometimes that's where I think it's common. If I felt detox was the priority, that might be an example. It sounds like you're just about this far from getting it. It might be an example where you say, it's written in a way they'd be brain dead not to put the money there, but they can opt to put the IFP. I personally, right now, I'm not persuaded that that's a priority for this group. For this project, I feel it should be IFP. But I don't think we say we just generally need more of the X general. We've got to be as specific as
possible.
Yes.
So specific is the recommendation, and that's what we'll go with. I agree that at some point the county board, who's the administrative arm, or the mental health board, who may get that authority from the county board, has to issue these RFPs, because there may be other agencies that come out at some point, maybe not in detox, because I know that's not necessarily so, but in other reentry areas, you may have other organizations who's doing reentry work. So that may come out down the line, but this committee doesn't, we don't necessarily get to make that decision anyway. So the more specific you can be for the board consideration, and as we work on, okay, now we know what you need, how can you fund that, right? Here's a recommendation that will come from the financial side of funding that, or the possibility of funding that. So we can tie the money to the programs. I think it makes sense to go specific. Okay, that's simple to me.
Can I just say one thing? Just if you're specifically going to recommend RFPs, IFPs, just that you also include in that recommendation, who's going to evaluate the responses? And
right, who do we want to decide? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that
that may be the court.
We need to come back around to this, the whole system. As we have a juvenile system of care, we need to actually have an adult system of care, which is what you're saying, what Lynn is saying. I think this all ties into that, developing the entire system of care that follows it through. And then who's the administrative arm? Who's the oversight board?
The council.
Who does that? It might be that recommended thing.
Well, it has to be created. Is the point is it has to be created.
It might be a subgroup of the mental health board. I'm not sure what existing agencies will do it. I'm not sure. I'm not advocating one way or the other, okay? I just wanted to make sure that was at least done, that will be specific in the recommendations. The next meeting is set for May 13th. I only have one issue I need to bring to the committee's awareness is I am going to be installed, knighted, for the Urbana City Council the first Monday, I believe, in May.
Knighted?
I'm going to be knighted. No, I'm just kidding. But I won't be able to make any more Monday meetings.
I'm done teaching. Apparently they were trying to accommodate me. I don't know. So I have more flexibility.
And the 13th is a bad day for me.
Me too.
Can we move to Wednesday?
This is my last week teaching.
Yeah.
Is there any problem with us moving to Wednesday?
That Wednesday?
The 15th.
The 15th.
There's Darlene, and I think she said she was okay.
Wednesday the 15th. Of May.
Is so I can do same? Wednesdays. I can't do Mondays.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to move it to the 15th and then Wednesdays every subsequent meeting. And then just for your awareness, if Ms. Lynn has time to work on the next item that's on there, it'll be on our meeting agenda for next time, which is the Champaign County Restorative and Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, who might actually be the arm to do all of this that we've already recommended today. Okay. So if she has time, I want to keep that on for the next meeting. Okay. I'll entertain it.
No. I'm just. Where do we stand with these proposals? I mean, for the next meeting, what's going to happen? Just to make. I mean, I know we have this, but what else do we have to address?
Oh, you mean as far as the next recommendation?
Well, I mean, we've run through three proposals tonight. We're going to get some feedback. Then are we going to bring them back again to a meeting? Are we going to talk about the changes that we've made? I mean,
when we come back to the meeting, will only be discussing the changes as they were recommended or the changes that weren't included that people didn't necessarily agree with.
Can I make a suggestion? Because they've never seen our timetable that the task force approved. We're already way behind it. Is it possible you could circulate a revised timetable and we kind of operate on that until we do a formal vote?
We need to actually revise again.
Yeah, give the guidance that we're talking about, et cetera.
So
please don't circulate. Don't ask for comments this week. Ask for next week because I won't even read your email.
We will. We'll have to revise again because we just talked about revising last week, but we need to revise actually again for the timetable. And then I'll send the revised out.
Okay. One more issue. The date is now set that the draft of the report is going to be of the ILPP is going to be presented to the board on the 30th of April, and there's supposed to be a public meeting on the 2nd to follow that. So.
The Kalmanoff report is.
Yeah.
April 30th.
We're also still having a public meeting. Via video conferencing on Wednesday night, the 17th, at the library. He's not able to travel. But
is it at 6?
It's at 6:15.
We need to be at that meeting.
I'm a little lost here. Say it again, slower.
Which one?
What's going to happen there?
Okay,
The 30th of April,
he presents it to the county board.
His draft report, right?
And it doesn't circulate before then, so we can't look at it before then. And then the 2nd of May, he's going to have hold a public meeting. You should be announcing this.
Well, you got it. We'll have a public hearing here, sponsored by the county board, but definitely to give people the opportunity to have seen the draft report and then bring in comments. And it's still a draft then. It's still not the final report. It's still subject to changes based on input.
What would be the structure of that public meeting? I mean, is it going to be like a county board meeting or is it going to be an open meeting?
No, I don't think it'll be like a county board meeting. I think because the county board will have opportunities to talk with him on Tuesday evening, I think the structure will be primarily to focus on public comment and exchange back and forth between he and the public as well.
That's on the 2nd?
People will have another opportunity. So is it possible that we could have some electronic flyers, something to give to the public on this 5-2 meeting?
Sure. Yeah. Like do another press release. Posted absolutely.
So that we could at least put that announcement out.
Because if we get it to you guys, we get it out to all of your venues. We'll do the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Now I will entertain the journal. James,
I move to adjourn.
The second to adjourn.
Support.
Thank you. We adjourn.
You win the popularity.
Well, I delayed it twice. I had to do
the
local
match on the Prairie Serpents.
Sorry, you guys.
Are you running the
DHS?
I thought they were 8:25. No, so local 8:25.